to tell me the Christmas story. You could do it. You could tie it up in a big red bow. So we're going to unpack this Christmas gift. I need some kids to come and help me. Do you reckon you guys can put your sheep down, your sparkly sheep, and come and help me unwrap this big Christmas present? Okay, have we got rippers or unwrappers? Whoa, stop, stop. Thank you. Now sit down right round here, because I'm going to need your help. I know, that's what I thought would happen. So our big red bow is unwrapped. Now, there's all sorts of things in here, all sorts of Christmas things. So, I'm going to give you a clue. The first one is what's called swaddling cloth. What did they use that for? Does anyone remember? Wrapping baby Jesus. Now, Ben, Isla, do you want to come and see what else you can find in this box? Do you want to lift something out? What are they? Wings for an angel and a halo. So is this part of the Christmas story?
Yeah.
You just heard about it from Colleen, didn't you? Yeah. Okay, so we'll put the angel wings down there with a halo. Oh, no. Surprises? Do you want to have a turn now, Zoe? Do you want to come and choose something? Do you want to find something and lift it out? Here, I'll lift you up. What would you like to get out of there? Whoa! What is it? It's a sheep. It's not nearly as fun as Max's sheep, but it is a sheep. Thank you, Zoe. Would you like to find something in here, Jack, and lift it out? Whoa, what have we got? Chocolate. Are they in the Bible story?
No.
But I'm thinking we've probably all got chocolates at home for Christmas. We might have some of those at the picnic.
Yes.
Ben, would you like to come and find something in here? Pick one something. Okay. What sort of a book is this?
Cooking.
What kind of cooking?
Christmas
recipes. So that's a trifle on the front, I think. Don't know what it is. Something pretty special. So a recipe book for Christmas food. Is that in the Bible?
No.
Eli, would you like to come and pick something out of the box? What have we got here? Is that in the Bible?
No.
Is it part of everybody's Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack's picked something. Lily, would you like to come and pick something? What do you reckon that is? It's a cooking thing. It's an apron. Do you want to model it, Lily?
That goes all the way down to her legs.
Well, you don't want to get your shoes covered with Christmas cooking now, do you? Are there aprons in the Christmas story in the Bible?
No.
No. But some of us have got Christmas aprons that our friends gave us. Do you want to model it, Lily? And turn around so everyone can see how gorgeous you look in your Christmas apron. Now, I'm going to pick the next thing. This is actually shepherd's clothing. that I borrowed from your nan. I reckon you need this today, Max. You're the shepherd with the sheep. Max, do you want to come and choose something out of here? What have we got? Is that in the Bible?
That's for the
Christmas tree. We all have it in our house. We have a Christmas tree. It's probably almost as big as the Christmas tree. There we go. How's that? Jackson, do you want to come? Oops. Do you want to come and choose something? Baubles for our Christmas tree. So we could. Who hasn't had a turn? Evie, do you want to come and choose something out of the box? Do you want to find something in the box? Ah, oh, you've got a sheep too. You're going to sit with that one. Another sheep. Ben, do you want to turn? Do you want to come and choose something? What have we got here?
Chris Tomlin O'Grady. So that's a CD.
What kind of a CD?
A song from Chris Tomlin.
It is, but it's a Christmas CD. It's got the song that we just sang on it.
Chris Tomlin
O'Grady. Okay. Jackson, do you want to pick something out? Isla, do you want to come and pick something else?
Candles.
Candles. Do we have candles in the Christmas story? They're not mentioned, but I reckon we probably, people use them. And we've got some more tinsel. Lily, do you want to come and choose something else? We probably won't. What do you want to choose, guys? Do you want to choose something out of the bottom of the box? Can you reach?
Yep.
That one might drop out of its box, Jackson. Thank you.
I don't know what that is.
I'll show you in a minute what that is. And that's one of my favourite Christmas stories called The Christmas Miracle of Jonathan Toomey. That's an old story that I used to read when I was a teacher. So I'll put that one over there. What do you think's in here? Stuff. There's Christmas stuff.
Christmas tree is moving.
It's a music box that belonged to my son. Is that in the Bible?
No.
No. What else have we got in here? We've got some decorations for a Christmas tree. And what's left? That's not a Bible. I've got a book by Tim Keller called Hidden Christmas. So this is a book for grown-ups. But it's one I recommend to all of you if you're trying to wrap your heads around Christmas. I found it really, really helpful. Okay, guys, you can go back to your sparkly sheep. Thank you for your help. You can. No, it's all right. I'll take that one home. Thank you. Up there is probably good. She can play with it now if you want. That's one way we understand Christmas, and that's the reality of how we live it. We live it with this box of understanding called Christmas. And we've got it all wrapped up with a nice big red bow, but it's a jumble of both our traditions that our culture embraces to celebrate Christmas and the Christmas story itself. One way to understand Christmas is that it's a series of announcements. I want to read what we've already seen a video of this morning What's called the, in the church history, it's called the Annunciation, which is the visit to Mary to announce to her that she would be the Mother of God. Let's have a read in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 we're starting at. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. No word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Most of us know the words of this reading, if not off by heart. We could make a pretty good attempt at this portion of the Bible. This is a true story. Sometimes at Christmas, it's presented to us in all sorts of ways, almost akin to being a fairy story, a once upon a time story. But if this is actually a true story, the truest story ever. But do we understand it? Let's imagine that Hannah or Lauren or Abby Vince was found to be pregnant. They're about the age Mary was. And living in a small town. And they said, "An angel visited me and told me that I was going to bear the Son of God." How would we react? How does one wrap one's head around this? We can all recite this story, but do we understand it? I really don't. This portion of the story particularly really does my head in. I love it. I come back to it. But it messes with all the categories in my mind. God became human, became one of us. What does it mean that the Holy Spirit overpowered Mary? What does that even mean? Can you explain it? Jesus' birth punches a hole between one world, the world that has existed before time, the world of eternity that God inhabits, and the world we live in. The incarnation is this hole between those two worlds. Jesus was born not once upon a time, but as someone from eternity who broke into time and space. We often use the expression, we'd move heaven and earth. The incarnation is Jesus moving literally heaven and earth. Tim Keller, where did I put that book? There. In his book, Hidden Christmas, makes this great comment. If we've never stood and looked at the gospel and found it ridiculous, impossible, inconceivable, I don't think we've really understood it. This is one wild story that we signed onto when we believed that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. So what I would like to do now is to read that reading again, and we're going to leave the last slide up, and we're going to actually have a time of just sitting in this story. And after that, when you feel that you've sat long enough, I invite you to come and choose one of these images, or perhaps none of them will speak to you, that capture the emotions, the feelings, the thoughts that this wild story evokes in you. So let me read this story to you again, starting at the first slide, Hannah. And then there'll be silence. Hannah, can I have the first slide again now, please? We're going to go through the reading a second time. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. A little town, just like Summertown or Euradler. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Just a chance for you to do what Mary does and to ponder. Thank you. If you could pray for people before you do that. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father God, you're the giver of peace. You gave the ultimate gift of peace through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could be drawn into you and become part of your body, so that the peace of God, which knows no bounds, which is beyond understanding, could be ours to embrace. Even in the most tumultuous of times, even in the most difficult of circumstances, God, your peace prevails. God, your peace prevails. And Lord, as we go into our week and as we go into our time leading into Christmas, May your peace prevail in our hearts. And may the peace that prevails in our hearts and shared in our hearts be shared with those around us, so that others would truly know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the peace of our souls, is the joy of our souls, is the one who gathers us together and holds us in the palm of God's hand. Please stand with us and sing. Thank you.